Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
John McClain in for one more segment right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Earlier in the show, John Lopez said that Texans owner Cal McNair needs to speak. He had a list of things he wanted to hear from Cal McNair. John McClain's known Cal McNair for a long time. He also knew his late father, Bob. Mr. McClain, is Cal McNair going to be the type of owner that is going to address have a state of the franchise address?
Let me just kind of frame it for you, John, because I've gotten to know Cal a little bit. I'm not like you, but I got to know him a little bit. I think this could be a really good thing for him and the organization, and very, very important for fans. It's been 2.5 months or thereabouts. He's the guy. The buck stops with Cal McNair, right? I think he needs to give a state of the union, so to speak, with the state of the Texans, and kind of answer some of these questions. We can get a real good feel for things that are going to be similar, things that are going to be different, what kind of guy he is. I think it'll be good for him.
Well, he's running a team. Janice McNair, of course, is a controlling owner, and I agree with you 100%. I think Cal needs to do a state of the union. He needs to do it in the Chronicle.
Well, no. While I appreciate what you're saying, we need, and I think you would agree with this ultimately, we need more than just John McClain asking questions. We need him to get in front. We need people to see him. A lot of people don't even know what he looks like. You know, I mean, you see him occasionally. Oh, that's Cal McNair. Just kind of get up in front, do his deal, kind of, like I said, kind of a state of Texas, let people know where you're coming from, what you're going to be.
I don't think we'll see that from Cal except maybe to start a training camp, to kick off training camp. That's Bob used to do that. And like I see Cal, not now, but during the season, I've seen him quite a bit, talk to him, BS about the teams, family, and all that. And he's quoted every once in a while, like if he was doing a charity event. And he and his wife, Hannah, they do a lot of charity stuff. Just that the McNair family is so giving and has been forever. And I think I met Cal in 1999 when they got the franchise, and he was living in Fort Worth. And then he came down here, and it was a joke. People would say, I wanted to be the assistant GM to Charlie Cashley. And I said, no, I want to be the assistant owner to Bob McNair, and I'll be Charlie's boss. And so that was kind of a joke over there. And then Cal came, and I said, you stole my job. And so he's been there. I can't tell you all the times Bob used to do interviews or deal with people at league meetings or owners' meetings or places that Cal would always he's, when I wrote that apple didn't fall from far from the tree, that apple fell straight down. He's going to be like Bob, but he's got to earn influence and credibility in the NFL like Bob did. So I don't think we will see something like that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
To the start of camp when everybody's out there together, I don't see him out of the blue calling a news conference, say everybody come talk to Cal.
How do you think that he could be different from his dad was as an owner?
Well, we don't know. I mean, Bob would go to practices till his health got bad. And then he would go as he was fighting that 5-year battle with cancer. He would have to totally cover up because it was skin cancer that got him to begin with. And Cal's out there. Cal's always working out, wants to be in shape. You know, he's got a football background. He's a big football fan, sports fan, big outdoorsman, and very close with his mother, Janice, as he was with Bob. But until he's not going to all of a sudden start telling him what to do, he's always been there with Bob. So when Bill O'Brien or Rick Smith or Brian Gain talk to Bob, he's talking to Cal. And so he's been involved in everything. And his dad told me, can remember how many times his dad through the years would start to talk more and more about Cal taking his place, eventually stepping up. And of course this year last season Bob's health was so bad. Cal was running the show last season, and we're not going to know for sure about something. And he knows you give him the money, you hire good people, and then you get out of the way. And until he has to fire somebody, he'll sign off on free agent decisions. You know, he signed off on all the money they're spending to redo everything over
there.
Those
are things that people like yourself and myself and people who are fans – We want to talk to him about it. We want to say, what are your thoughts on free agency? You know, what are your thoughts on contracts with, even though we know what he probably will be, we want to hear him from
him. Well, nothing is going to change over there with Cal McNair running the show over his dad. And until he has to make a big decision like firing Brian Gaynor or Bill O'Brien, we're not going to know. But he's going to be patient just like his dad was. Mm-hmm.
So Cal McNair will definitely have a new role next season. Will Justin Reed have a new role as well?
He'll have the same role as last season. He was running the show.
Yeah,
last
he was.
Season.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, true. Yeah, that's right. But Justin Reed, will he have a new role? Will he be more vocal? The second-year safety joined the show yesterday. This is what he had to say.
Yeah, and one of the favorite terms that I like to use is lead in your role. That's the way I like to see it. Whatever your role is, whatever your lane is, mm-hmm. lead in that lane.
What is Justin Reed's role?
My role is to be, one, I need to be the most consistent player I can be on the back end with all of my calls, be a reliable source of information for my teammates whenever I see something and I make an adjustment, make a call, that my teammates trust me, that I know what I'm talking about, and that I'm making these decisions for the best interest to get guys lined up to make the best plays possible. Being one of those guys who can lead by being an example, by being on time for every meeting, by making all of my runs, by not doing all of the, you know what I mean, inappropriate or dumb stuff that you see players sometimes getting themselves involved in today's league with the social media or any of that stuff. Just be a consistent guy that everyone in the locker room, coaching staff, players, training room can rely, that I'm going to be there to do my job. I will be prepared to play, so you be prepared to play.
It is interesting how he says he doesn't want to get involved in the dumb stuff, and he includes social media. Someone who the Texans are going to have to make a tough decision on that also plays safety, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, he's very, very active on social media. Sometimes he'll get involved in the dumb stuff with the OG John Lopez every once in a while.
The Honey Badger.
If the Honey Badger leaves, first of all, do you see the Honey Badger returning to this team, John?
I do, yeah.
Okay. All right, so do you see assuming that he returns, Justin Reed is going to be one of the voices of this franchise, if not next year, in the near future. He has the potential and the makings to be one of those guys that is the go-to guy in the locker room.
He is one of them now. He's such a great talker. He makes so much sense. This year, probably five times, I went up to him after interviews and thanked him for being so cooperative and being so good.
Who did you not thank this year?
He was so appreciative. He was actually one of two that I did.
Who was the other?
Mathieu. And that's where even we gave Mathieu our Pro Football Writers of America, the local chapter, gave Mathieu the Good Guy Award, which every team picks a guy that's great for interviews. Mm-hmm. And I got a feeling Justin Reed will win it next year. And having Mathieu became a great leader on this team, quicker knee player I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He had a reputation. And I remember when they knew he was leaving Arizona and when he signed with the Texans, I had media people and people in that organization texting me about what a tough loss it was and how they were going to like him. Now, they didn't say he's going to be a great player.
Right.
They were talking about what a great leader he was, how players looked up to him, how he was not afraid to speak his mind. And that's exactly what he came to here. And I was told by a couple of players when they had an introductory meeting or maybe a start of training camp, O'Brien had a couple of players stand up and tell their story. And when the Honey Badger told his story, everybody was mesmerized about, number one, his story, and number two, the way he told it. You know, he could be like stand up in front of a room and give speeches. He could be a preacher. He could be a motivational speaker, but the players were just, it was gripping. And so Justin Reed is going to be like that. His background is different. He's from Louisiana, went to Stanford. He didn't go through all the hard times that Mathieu did. And Reed is, I believe, going to be a perennial Pro Bowler because if it hadn't been for Derwin James and the Bates guy at Cincinnati, for some reason, Bates got a lot of attention for the Bengals, but I thought sure Reed would get more. And if he was good this year, I think he'll be great next season. Take that big jump that most rookies do going their second season, and he'll be good for a long time. He'll be a leader. He'll be a go-to guy for the media. I'm still stunned that he was there in the third round, and they made a decision quick as Brian Gaynor could go, Justin Reed.
Yeah. Let's look at the math here, though, because I know we got other things to get to, but you talk about the safeties. Tyrann Mathieu thinks going to be back. Justin Reed's going to be back. Andre Howell and Kareem Jackson are the other two who have played safety. Is Kareem just going to go straight to corner, or what's the math going to work out?
Well, Andre Howell will be back. It's amazing what he did.
How's it going to work?
He made some big plays. Romeo Crennel moves. At times he was playing seven defensive backs. He has so many personnels, his sub-packages, in which he plays a lot of defensive backs. It's amazing because it's a passing league. Kareem, of course, if he comes back, I'll still be surprised if Matthew and Kareem are both back. But if Kareem's back, his versatility helps a lot. And I was talking to a couple of Jacksonville people at the Super Bowl. I said, what in the world happened to Aaron Colvin? Mm-hmm. I asked them because they had talked about how good he played. And they said,
I want to know, too.
He is a slot corner. He's not an outside corner. You have to take him, put him in the slot, don't move him around, and say, cover that guy. And that's what he did there. So I think next year he will be the slot corner and then hopefully stays healthy. O'Brien said at the end of the year he thought he was never healthy, even though he was a healthy
now,
scratch.
Kareem Jackson said he wanted to play safety. That's where he would think he could extend his career.
Kareem's told everybody he's ready to play safety. Most corners, you know, they act like they're less of a man if they move to safety.
So they could use four safeties? So, somebody's an odd man out.
Kareem's saying this because he's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
And he's smart. He's marketing himself, letting everybody know, I'll play safety if I need to play safety because most corners
let me put it this way. Do you think all four will be back?
No, I don't think.
Kareem Jackson then by default would be the one.
Kareem or Matthew, I don't see him paying big money for both of them.
Okay.
Said Honey Badger. We're both on the Kareem side of things. So it'll be interesting to see how that shapes out. By the way, free agency starts in 37 days, but who's counting? Biggest speculation following New England's sixth Super Bowl ring. Will Rob Gronkowski retire? This is an interesting report out of New England about Rob Gronkowski and why his body might not be in as good a shape as you would hope. Here it is right here.
Gronk has put out feelers once again that he is considering retirement. In fact, fairly sobering during the course of the week, talking about the punishment his body's taken and how your brain doesn't want your body to do that, and it affects your entire mood. But internally, the Patriots feel like Gronkowski brought some of this on himself during the offseason when he reported he came in not as strong, not as fast, and not as explosive. And while he had a very good first game against the Houston Texans, then all of a sudden the injuries popped up to the ankle, to the Achilles, and to the back. And the Patriots feel as though if he had maybe done it their way, as opposed to the TB12 way, which Gronk is devoted to, maybe things would have been different.
TB12 method, not for everyone, Mr. McClain.
Well, first of all, that was somebody said that anonymously, that the Patriots thought that. They did that when Edelman was coming back from his torn ACL and he got popped for PEDs. It was leaked up there in the media that the Patriots thought it was because he was doing TB12. And right now, based on Julian Edelman's performance, he probably should be doing TB12. Mm-hmm. So they don't like Alex Guerrero. They should love the guy.
Is he still not allowed on the facility?
No, he's not allowed in the facility. He used to have an office in Patriot Place. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still does. I think he does. When he does Brady, he goes to Brady's house.
Yeah.
And because he has kept Tom Brady playing as well as he has at 41,
they should
embrace the guy and be happy, whether they let him run all over the facility.
Should have his own private jet.
Nobody wants a guy who come into the facility who's going to be at odds with your staff. I mean, you hire a staff for a reason, and the players can go to whoever they want. Mm-hmm. Like right now, you could be working out over at Energy Stadium. You can't talk about football. Or a lot of guys go off on their own and have their own people.
They just have their guy.
Did you see that thing, Landry, about how much somebody got to spend a Tuesday with Jason Witten in his last season about what he did for his body on Tuesday?
Gosh.
And how much, I think he said he spent like $100,000 a year on with things that are beyond the team that they do. Mm-hmm. And so
it's worth the investment.
If you think about it, if Gronk one time I saw that he banked every dollar and he lived on his marketing.
He
money,
lived on his endorsements. His contracts are put aside.
So he's got to have enough money and putting yourself through all that physically. It's not Sunday. It's the rest of the week that kills him. Brady just eats it up. He loves practice. Right. He loves lifting weights. He loves everything. But Gronk has taken a beating. And whether TB12 can help him or whether it's the Patriots, he's talked so much about it before and after the game, you'd think it was time for him to walk away.
Yeah, it might be time for him to walk away. I don't know how many hits to the head Gronk has taken. I've seen all the injuries. Not too many concussions, but his math skills, not so good. This is Gronk after the Patriots won their sixth Super Bowl. It was his third, and just listen to the math skills of the Patriots tight end. Never mind. We'll hear that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. It's Gronk on three rings, Figgy. Brian Hoyer, he had a hand in the Patriots Super Bowl championship. He was the backup quarterback, but defensive back Stephon Gilmore says that the play that he made at the end of the game was in large part because he went over it with Brian Hoyer time after time after time. I know you had an article on Brian Hoyer. Apparently, he had the Patriots DBs prepared and ready to go.
I went over to when I finally could walk, and their hotel's only across the street. I went over there, and it took me forever, and I found the room, not where the big room was where Brady and the podiums were, but there was another one where he was at a table with a punter, and I sat and I waited for him, and he came up, and I said, I got a couple of questions you haven't been asked. He said, oh, I'll believe that when I hear it. Mm-hmm. I said, do you think the Texans can win a Super Bowl with Bill O'Brien? Because he played with him twice, saw him behind the scenes, was cut by O'Brien, was benched by O'Brien. So I thought he might be kind of bitter. And if he is, he didn't make it personal. And then he said yes, and he said why, and I wrote it for Saturday. And then I said there's a lot of controversy in Houston about Bill continuing to call plays. And he goes, I sure wish he'd called him when I was there. And that was 2015, O'Brien's second year, when he let George Godsey, the offensive coordinator, he promoted George and let George call the plays. Maybe he will Tim Kelly. But Godsey at one point was getting blasted by the fans and the media.
Right.
And Bill hinted, and I bought into it, everybody did, that he had taken play calling back over without ever coming out and admitting it to take the heat off of Godsey. Well, turns out he hadn't.
Yeah.
And I asked Courier, I said, I thought O'Brien took the play calling over. He said, I wished he had it. He said he didn't call one play that season. Now, he said now he would listen and he would talk to Godsey about it, but Godsey called the plays that season. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to act like too much of a doofus, so I didn't want to say, geez, I'm a moron for not knowing that. But then he talked about O'Brien, the system, how he knows it, how hard he works, how smart he is, how knowledgeable he is, and he said, I would like to have had him as a play caller. So he said, yes, he could understand Bill calling the plays, and he's a good play caller. You know, and Brady always has said, you know, when Brady talks to us about O'Brien, he just goes on and on and on. You ask him one question, it's like saying, what time is it? And he tells you how to make the watch. So both those guys have been with O'Brien behind the scenes, and they're very high on him. And so I was kind of surprised about Hoyer. I think at most he would like temper it a little bit.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He was all in, even though they got rid of him after one season.
Don't be too hard on yourself. You're not that big of a doofus. This is Rob Gronkowski's math after winning his third Super Bowl ring.
So my friends and I, we were chilling, and I only played half the season the year we got number two. So we were hanging out, and we all decided I have 1.5 rings because I only played half that season. That won the time we won it the second time. And they said that rounds down for some reason to one. And they said if I get 2 rings, that means I get another ring, I'll have 2.5, and that rounds up to 3, baby. So
there you go.
I got 3 rings now, baby. Woo!
Yeah, don't feel too bad about yourself. A lot of people should feel bad about themselves in the media, because I'm looking through the Twitter sphere and I'm looking through ESPN yesterday, and I see these headlines, and the headlines basically say Kobe Bryant says James Harden can't win a championship with his style of play. That's what the headline said. So because I've trained myself to not fall for headline porn,
right,
I assume that maybe this was headline porn, and I listened to the interview with Kobe Bryant, which was with Rachel Nichols and Tracy McGrady on ESPN. And keep in mind, the headline was, Kobe Bryant says James Harden cannot win a championship with his style of play. This is what Kobe Bryant actually said.
James Harden, of course, crazy streak this season. What do you think of what he's doing right now?
Well, I think I'm not a fan of in terms of winning championships. I don't think that style is ever going to win championships. But at the same time, you have to keep your team's head above water to win games. So you have to do what you have to do to win games. And he's doing that, right? Now, I think
So are you saying you don't think James Harden and the Rockets, as constructed, can win a title?
Not with this style of play, it won't win. Right? With one player dominating the ball. Now when you have Chris Paul come back and you have more movement to the offense, where you move guys around, where you're harder to find.
And Chris Paul's back, but you mean more in the...
Yeah, because listen, if you take one player, you put him at the top of the key, or you put him on the wing, and you're running screen rolls, you're always in front of the defense. Mm-hmm. The defense can key on that, mm-hmm. particularly in the playoffs. And that's easy to defend.
Yeah.
It's easy to defend. Now, what he's doing is absolutely remarkable, though. And I think it's a testament to how remarkable it is, because people are now trying to minimize what it is that he's doing. I mean, he's doing some phenomenal stuff.
So there's the full quote right there. He gives Harden props for what he's having to do, admits mm-hmm. that he's having to do too much that nobody could possibly do to lead a championship, says that when Chris Paul comes back, they have championship hopes. But the headline says, Kobe Bryant says James Harden can't win championship with style play.
He also left out Clint Capela, and I think everybody knows they're not going to win a championship playing the way they are right now. But he's kept their head above water. He's been unbelievable. I wish that he wasn't in the All-Star game and he could rest.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that last year he got an injury, missed about a week near the end of the season. That was great. I hope that happens to him again, because you just can't see him sustaining this all the way through the season in the playoffs. But he's right. You got to have more players.
See, I think Kobe was right, too, because I guess he's just talking about, okay, what Chris Paul are we going to get back? That's how I interpreted it.
I took it to be one guy's not going to win a championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. John, what's coming on?
He's doing a remarkable job.
Exactly. Yeah. Gave him his props. He's the MVP of the league. John, what's coming in the Chronicle?
I'm headed over to the Chronicle to do a Facebook Live, and Aaron Wilson's going to have Texan stories today, and then I don't know what I'm doing. We're going to start our mock drafts and podcasts about our mock draft as we get closer to the combine. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it as always. It was fun seeing you in Atlanta.
It was very fun seeing you in Atlanta. Fun seeing you every Tuesday right here on In the Loop. That's the NFL Hall of Famer, John McClain. Coming up next, John Lopez wants to hear from Cal McNair, and I want no part of Le'Veon Bell. We'll get into that next. You're In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.